Northern Brewer is the proud sponsor of the Brewing Network's Jameel Show. They have the widest selection of domestic and imported malts and grain, hops from all over the world, and a full line of liquid and dry yeast. No matter what style of beer you're brewing, Northern Brewer has the ingredients you need, plus fast shipping and expert staff to help you make the best beer possible. Please visit northernbrewer.com for all things homebrew.
All homebrewers have a favorite commercial beer, but not everyone can make it. Welcome to the show that teaches you how, where you can challenge two masters, Jameel Zainasheff and Tasty McDole. This is the Jameel Show. Can you brew it? Now here's Jameel.
Hey, howdy. Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Hi, everybody. How y'all doing? Is that my southern accent? How y'all doing?
Y'all, you know, I was down in Texas, and I'll tell you,
pick some of that up?
Oh, I tell you.
Shit, you were down in Texarkana.
Woo-hoo! Not Texarkana. I was down in Houston.
Any good commercial beer down there? What were you drinking that impressed you?
Well, I tried to drink all Texas beer.
Couldn't get through it, or what's the deal?
Huh?
That was your goal, I'm saying. Yeah.
No, they had a lot of, you know, and the interesting thing was, I'll tell you, that Dixie Cup, it's a great event, and you would love this. I would put that on a par with NHC, which I love.
That's a great event.
You know, and like last time, 2,000 people, it's just tremendous. GABF, I put that kind of in that category. I would put Dixie Cup in the category with the greatest of the NHCs and GABF. And
it's probably one of the biggest one-round homebrew competitions there is.
Yeah, it's like 1,200 entries.
It's a big competition for
it's
one
big.
Round.
Yeah, yeah. And they put a lot of effort. Everyone, I think, that's involved with this thing believes that it should be the finest event on the earth. And they, you know, it's all volunteer labor.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of times volunteer labor can be, it's fine most of the time. But this is volunteer labor where everybody that's in a position believes that they need to do the finest job possible. And it shows in this thing.
Wow.
It really does. I was blown away. You know, the only other really, you know, a small volunteer event that I saw that I was the most impressed with was the Australian National Homebrew event. That's like a group of dedicated professionals at the highest level of business. This is like, you know, IBM, AT&T, you know, Microsoft coming together, having a board meeting. That was the kind of...
That was the tone.
That was the tone of the meetings that they had.
Wow.
I was just blown away in Australia. A little more laid back in Texas. The Australian one, really just, those folks, they really, you know, they I don't know. They really want to make it, you know, something important. They don't, you know, they're not, they put a lot of effort into that thing. And the folks in Texas do too. In Houston, an excellent event, and the food, the beers, the people. They took me out to a place called the Petrol Station, that let us in, you know, a little early, and you know, just amazing array of beers and food. And you know, last time I was in Texas, I wasn't that impressed. Of course, that was 2002, or when was the Texas Homebrew Conference?
Oh, then
in Dallas?
2006, I think is what. Yeah. Or no, 2003.
2003 or 2002,
yeah,
around there.
In Fort Wayne?
Dallas, I think.
Dallas
or Houston?
What's
Dallas.
The Fort? It's something Dallas.
Fort Worth?
Fort Worth, Dallas.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was Fort Worth, Dallas.
Really?
Swear to God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. And I went out there, and it was great. I enjoyed myself, but it was 175 people, and there wasn't a whole lot of local beer that was great.
It was muggy as shit.
Yeah.
We showed up at 11:30 at night, and it was 98 degrees.
I'll tell you, Texas is coming on. They're coming on strong. These people are not
really?
Sitting back.
Oh, that makes me happy. I like
taking
that.
It easy. I had some beers that I thought were really great, and I can't remember them all, But, you know, some fantastic beers. And also, I remember some of them from Austin. I remember the one, the Pecan Porter, because I got a friend that's really into Pecan Porter for some reason. And I tried a Pecan Porter, and I thought it was really good. And then they had this, you know, food and beer pairing. Randy Mosier, you know, kind of hosted this thing. And they had all these great things. And they had a five-year-old Gouda. It's like Gouda, but it's Gouda cheese. And it was... It had gotten to the point where it's just starting to crystallize, where you get these crunchy little crystals in it.
What?
But it's almost always it's slightly wet as well. It's just the intensity of the flavor. It's just out of this world. And they matched it up, and Randy brought this great sausage from Chicago, and the people were just so generous and nice. I loved every minute of it. It's one of the best events I've ever been to, I think.
Sounds like it's well done.
I would suggest we all get Justin on board with this, and the whole entire Brewing Network crew go to the next Dixie Cup.
I would go if we could stay 4 days in Austin.
It's not that far away. Because and Austin's awesome. Yeah, I agree.
It's a town with two colleges and as many bars as you can throw a wad of spit at. Yeah. Yes. A lot of great people breweries. Walk in the walk of shame. Your buddy Peter from Australia is in chat, and he says hi. And thank you for talking about it.
Hey, Peter. Yeah. Peter would love going to Dixie Cup. That would be
even
for him. He would. He's awesome. He fits in with everybody.
He's a good guy.
But I'll tell you, the entire Brewing Network should go to Dixie Cup next year, and we should we'd all have a killer time there.
Sounds like a great event.
Yeah, that's an event for us.
Sounds hella sick.
We'd all fit in.
I'm sure to have a great time.
Yeah. So how you been doing, Tasty?
Doing great. Doing a little brewing now and then.
Yeah.
Wait, what? You
doing
brew?
A little bit of brewing here and there, yeah.
Yeah. And you went to the Northern California Homebrewers Conference. I missed it because of one event or another. I couldn't go.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
It didn't land on the same weekend as GABF, so that was good. But there were other conflicts, I know.
Yeah. I'm just...
It was a great event. You know, you get a... 300 homebrewers sharing the beer with each other. You can't miss. It's just a lot of fun.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, and also absolutely fantastic, what would you say?
Our sponsor. They are amazing.
Northern Brewer? No, yeah.
Got everything you want. They have a great selection of recipes. And, you know, these guys, you can tell they brew beer. You can just know that everything they do, they're all about, you know, brewing beer themselves. It's really quite a beer place as well as a good homebrew store.
Right. Well, and what's most important to you about where you buy your homebrew supplies?
Well, number one thing is I want a place that, you know, has lots of sales, so I know I'm getting the freshest ingredients possible.
Right, right.
That certainly, you know.
Yeah, they're big. They sell a lot.
Certainly satisfies that bill.
Well, if they're big, they don't care about you, do they?
No, they do. No, that's what they're big because they do care. That's how you get big, is worrying about each individual. And then, of course, the other thing is selection, right? I want to be able to get, you know, a variety of ingredients and odd things and odd parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I have a problem or something I don't, you know, quite figure out what I need, they have, you know, also great customer service.
Well, that's the thing is what you said is a lot of people think that big, they don't care about you automatically, right? But that's not true. You
can't do that very long.
You can't, well, you can't get big if you don't care about your customers.
You'll
get
smaller. So, yes, exactly. Shows.
I deal with those guys all the time on governing committee stuff and just, you know, so many different levels and bring TV and all that. And I tell you, they have not lost touch with, you know, they're just good people. I would, you know, if I only bought from one place, you know, Northern Brewer, I would be a very happy camper. And you need to support your local homebrew shop. You absolutely do. You don't diss your local homebrew shop. You
that's
need
true.
To keep them in business because that's where new homebrewers come from, and that's where when your yeast you kept around, you pitched too hot or whatever it might be.
Something breaks.
They're there for you. Yeah. You know, don't diss your local homebrew shop. But you know, there's a lot of things that they're unable to carry. And you know, Northern Brewers got it, and they'll take care of you. They got your back, and you know, they want your local homebrew shop to survive too. So don't diss them. But Northern Brewer, God, those are just really good, smart, hardworking folk, and I can't say enough good about them. They're precious to me. All right. So what's our topic for today? We're going to talk about the whole Pro-Am thing, right?
Yeah, kind of going the other direction, where instead of us trying to clone a commercial beer, the commercial guy trying to clone a home brew.
Right, and I've gotten several things on Brew Strong. We do this whole going pro thing, and we've got a question about how do I take a homebrew recipe and scale it up to my pro recipe now? I'm going from 5 gallons to 15 barrels. What sort of thing do I need to worry about? And I thought that's really an excellent idea. We always talk about the reverse. It would be nice if we kind of thought about it in the other direction.
Right.
You've done a number of pro-ams. I've done some, yeah. And we've got a fair amount of experience about this, and it's interesting. I think what we should do. We'll take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about kind of our experiences. And, I don't want any of them to sound negative, because I don't think I've ever done a pro-am type of thing where it's ever been negative. I think it's been, here's the constraints we're working in. Let's work together on this. I don't think it's ever been negative. So, but we got some interesting stories, I think, to share, huh?
Sure, a lot of things happen. It's a great gesture on the part of the professional to let it happen. So, yeah.
Well, I can now talk also from the professional side. Yeah. What it is to take
amateur, rank
amateur,
yeah, like right. Daily.
what would my, I've done it from both sides. So I've actually, having done it from both sides, I've got
some
stories.
You have a lot of reach.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll dive right in. Back after this.
In a world where everything has been lost.
What happened to the city? It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. No, the liquor store has been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol. Done. Come with me if you want the beer. Okay, I'm gonna need some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's gonna get us wasted.
Someone start heating water. And
from the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you $7.99 Brew Saver shipping, massive selection, and superior customer service comes...
If you love craft beer, you're already a heretic.
The very first thing we did when we started looking at the beers that we would brew, we got rid of all those recipes. We started from scratch. We've been pilot brewing the most creative things that we could think of and the most interesting things. We've completely gone away from style.
Heretic Brewing Company is opening this spring in Pittsburgh, California, and you can be a part of it. Visit hereticbrewing.com and facebook.com/hereticbrew. Get the latest updates on the brewery and upcoming beers. Show everyone how you celebrate great beer as a heretic.
It's a fairly powerful word. Being a heretic, that means you're not settling for ordinary beer. You are going with flavorful, creative, bold, interesting beers. A heretic is looking for the best beers out there.
Be a heretic. Don't drink ordinary beer. When Blickman Engineering set out to design a great brewing stand, they knew it had to be strong, adaptable, and last for a lifetime. The top-tier brewing stand is now proudly available at BlickmanEngineering.com. It grows with your brewing skills and equipment. Start with 5-gallon coolers on its heavy-gauge stainless steel shelves. Then move all the way up to 30-gallon pots on the high-output burner tiers. Speaking of burners, the custom Blickman Engineering top-tier burners are extremely powerful, efficient, and amazingly quiet. They have safety stops to center your pot, and they'll last a lifetime and won't rust. The top-tier brewing stand allows virtually infinite combinations from traditional gravity systems to two tiers to completely horizontal. Configure your stand the way you want and have the freedom to change it at any time in the future. Your brewing stand should adapt with you, not force you to learn a new process. Visit BlickmanEngineering.com today to configure your top-tier brewing stand and to find a local Blickman retailer. You'll be surprised with all the flexible features and the competitive price. Start brewing with Blickman from the top tier.
Now back to Can You Brew It?
All right, we're back. We're talking about the pro-am process. So kind of going from, you know, the show's all been about, you know, going from the, you know, the pro side down to the amateur side, the professional craft brewer to the amateur, the home craft brewer, and you know, how you take those recipes and make them, you know, and the adjustments you make to make that the same beer at home. Well, the interesting thing is, especially here in the U.S., we have a whole thing, culture of, you know, these great home brews, you know, entered in a competition or, you know, brought to your local brewery, and they go, wow, this is like one of the best beers I've ever tasted. Let's do a professional batch of this. Let's scale it up. I've done this in the past with Ron Watanabe. He's going to be on the Sunday session coming up at Tide House many, many years ago. He did a Robust Porter. I've done this at 21A. I've done this at Sacramento Brewing. I've done this on a number of things. And it's an experience. And Tasty, you've done a number of these. You did Russian River, which is, you know, fantastic.
Russian River.
You did 21A.
21A, those two, yeah.
Okay. And it's interesting. The thing I found from the homebrew side, going into it from a homebrewer, one of the things a homebrewer has, the advantage a homebrewer has over a commercial brewer is, it's okay for you. You can buy malt a pound at a time and use a quarter pound in something.
The other half, or yeah. Nothing left over.
Who cares?
You're done, there's nothing left over.
Yeah, I cannot afford to have a bunch of open sacks laying around the brewery missing five pounds of malt. It's just ridiculous. So I throw all those items away, right? That just doesn't happen. And I round everything up to sack amounts. You know, it's either 50 pounds for domestic malts or 55 pounds for international. And, you know, when I was, you know, just strictly a home brewer, and I would, you know, join in, you know, I did some brews where people would say, well, you know, we don't deal with that base malt. You can't have British pale ale malt.
It's not in our silo.
It's not in the silo. You have domestic tubero. We're like, well, we're missing a lot of flavor. They go, well, I'll make up with it with something else. And I think, you know, Matt from Firestone, he's talked about that. He'd like to use, you know, this malt or that malt, but he makes up with it by, you know, just adding in something of something else.
When it's more biscuit flavor, he adds biscuit
right.
malts.
And he makes some of the best beers in the world. I don't think anyone would argue with that. And so, you know, but as a homebrewer, I'm thinking, well, you know, you don't do this, you don't have that malt, you don't have my yeast, you're screwing me. You know, you're dissing me here. You know, this isn't my beer. This isn't, you know, I'm just wasting time. Right? So that's one aspect of it. And I think, you know, it's very easy to look at what you do as a home brewer and say, well, they're disrespecting, you know, my creativity and my whole thing. Right? So I've done it that way.
That's not my idea.
Okay. Now, I also did it at 2-1-A with Sean O'Sullivan and Jesse at the time he was there. Mm-hmm. And Sean's mantra from the start was, whatever you have in your recipe, that's what we'll do.
That was my experience, too.
And he was like, you know, oh, you know, what supplier? I think we made some concessions, but it's concessions I would have made as a home brewer. Okay. And it was like, you know, we can get this. Is that good enough? If it's not, tell me. You know, that's essentially what Sean was saying. He's like, no. I don't know where. I think he was coming from. He wanted me to be happy, but I think at the time I think, well, maybe he there's no excuses. I don't think it was that. I think he wanted me to be happy. Was really where he was coming from, and I really appreciated that. It was the best pro-am experience I ever had was at 2-1-A, because it was like, well, whatever malts you want, you know, if you're not happy with this, just tell us right now. I'll, you know, whatever it takes, I'll fly in whatever ingredients, yeah. And you know, you tell me, you know, don't you know, say you know. So it was fantastic, and I think the beer that we made there was I think it was good. I don't think it was as great as the homebrew version, and I think it was, you know, some of the weird things that happened in a homebrew version with not so good a fermentation or process. I think that's why, you know, this weird recipe turned out the way it did.
It's unattainable.
Right. It's unattainable. And I think, you know, and what that made me think back to was, you know, it turned out really good. The beer we did at 2-1-A turned out really good.
I remember it being really good.
The beer we did, I did the previous strong, right? One I was talking about, where, you know, the recipe was changed and all that, it turned out really good. It wasn't my recipe. The 2-1-A was much more my recipe than the other one, but they're both really good beers. And, you know, so for me to complain about one or the other, I think, you know, it doesn't make sense. So if you're doing a pro-am batch and they're like, well, you know, how about subbing this with that? I don't think it's as big a deal as I used to think it was. I used to think, hey, you know, why aren't you, you know, strictly following my recipe? And then, you know, 2-1-A did that for me. Sean did that for me. Right. He was like, okay, well, you want to follow exactly your recipe? Here we go. You know, it's your recipe. Right. It's your. I did, you know, 90% of the work. It's like, here's, you know, is it turning out the way you wanted?
Yeah.
You know, there was nobody to blame there but myself. It wasn't exactly the dream beer that I had imagined.
Well, I kind of like having that open part where you can blame somebody besides yourself.
Right, exactly.
He was sort of setting you up there.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he was. But I think that's kind of the result. It's like, well, if there's any fault to it, it's my own. But
well, I like the beer.
I think
that
he was just trying to make me happy.
Yeah. I like the beer that I brewed there. I think on a pub especially, a one-off is a one-off, right?
Right.
And then, of course, you know, the cost of beer there is, it pales in comparison to the profit that you make on house brewed beer. So if you had to use a half a sack of Cara Munich and he doesn't use that in any other beer, so what, kind of thing.
Right, that's
like
not
in
a
production
deal.
Brewery, right. We're going to be making that batch over and over again. You're going to be in sack, mm-hmm. sack increments. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense, right?
Right.
You having a production brewery.
Sack,
you know,
or half sack.
Or really half sack.
Anything okay. Other than that, forget it.
Yeah, okay. So, how many half sacks you got sitting around your brewery right now?
I mean, just a couple.
Couple?
It's from the Taffa Bully. We did the Pro-Am.
Is Matt listening? Can we talk about the Taffa Bully?
I don't know if he's listening, but yeah. You know, that was the interesting thing is, like, he had, you know, a couple pound, you know, a couple ounces of this. I'm like, oh, you know, when we did it, you know, I ended up going to more beer and buying, you know, a couple pounds of, you know, some Belgian biscuit or something. And if I was to
like
do it again.
You could find it in that 30-barrel batch.
Right, yeah. If I was to do it again, I would just like, well, we're not going to have two pounds of Belgian biscuit. I don't think we're tasting it. We would just throw it away. And, you know, I threw away the rest of it. And, you know, all the other half sacks and quarter sacks and all that and three-quarter sacks, I just threw into any other beer we're brewing. It's like, well, you're not going to taste it. I'm just going to dump this Vienna into Evil Twin. And
well, that's a interesting point.
It's like just extract.
When you're doing a homebrew batch, and let's say for 5 gallons, that would translate to maybe what 0.25 a pound of the biscuit malt. Or do you think that matters in a homebrew recipe? Because if you scale it up to 2 pounds for your style or for your size, and you're saying it doesn't come through and you don't think it matters, would it matter on that small of a scale to a home brewer?
The thing is, I think if they're both identically mashed and fermented and all that stuff, I think side by side, if everything else was absolutely exactly the same, and you compared them in a triangle test, you might be able to pick out the one with the couple ounces of biscuit malt. The problem is, all the other parts of the process are not that precise.
The beer's what dominates the beer is the ferment.
Yeah.
At some point, how you made the wort, if it's close or not,
right?
It just pales in comparison to the shape of the fermenter, the health of the yeast, the amount of the yeast, the
pitching
temperature
rate,
profile,
oxygen, temperature,
and then
nutrients,
of course, then you got the packaging side, how they treat the beer and stuff.
Right.
That really dominates it. As much as I think as a home brewer, I bring something to the table that's really cool, like my really special recipe, it's how they make beer how well they make beer there that drives the wedge.
Right. Yeah. Well, and let's do this. Let's take another short break. When we come back, I want to talk about you went to Russian River, and they brewed your iconic recipe, Janet's
iconic,
Brown.
Yeah, right.
And it's different. I mean, I love both beers. I love your version. I love, Russian River could crap in a toilet. I'd drink it. But they're different. And why is that? So after this, we'll talk about that.
Hi, this is Push from the Brewing Network, and I want to tell you about the Brewmaster's Warehouse and how you can get 10% off your next order. I'm a pretty techie guy, but I've never seen an online store like this. It's awesome. Go to brewmasterswarehouse.com and click on Brew Builder. You can whip up a custom recipe so easily even Sven could do it. Seriously, it's slick. You can share your recipe with your own logo and notes to the Brewmaster's database if you want. And the best part, it keeps a running tally of the beer you're building while you're doing it. Then, bam, click Buy Recipe and your cart is filled and ready to go with helpful suggestions in case you forgot something. This thing is amazing. Brewmaster's Warehouse is run the way a home brewer would do it, with great service, fast turnaround, and $6.99 flat rate shipping. Brewmaster's Warehouse and the Brew Builder blew me away. Check it out today at brewmasterswarehouse.com. I'm serious. And don't forget to put BNARMY in the discount code box for 10% off your order. Check out brewmasterswarehouse.com. Cheers.
Downtown Joe's, located in the historic Oberon Building in beautiful downtown Napa, California, offers an award-winning brew pub experience from 8:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day. For 15 years at the corner of 2nd and Main, Downtown Joe's has been voted Best Night Spot 7 times and Best Brew Pub for the last 4 years in a row. Brewmaster Colin Kaminsky's handcrafted ales, like his Tail Wagon Amber Ale and Double Secret Probation IPA, are the perfect accent to Riverside dining, live music, and a relaxing outdoor patio. Don't miss the Beer of the Month, special rotating taps, and the BN Army Member Special. Wear your BN gear, get 10% off your beer. Visit downtownjoes.com to make reservations, peruse their extensive calendar of events, or just read more about their fantastic beers. Come enjoy the fine beer, food, and music. Downtown Joe's, the award-winning brew pub where you'll feel at home.
What does craft beer mean to you? Is it a delicious way to support your town's local brewer? Or perhaps it's the perfect beverage to pair with those delicious devils on horseback? Regardless of whether you're thinking of pints or pairings, pilsners or porters, craftbeer.com is the site where craft beer lovers come together to learn and share. Craftbeer.com is brought to you by the Brewers Association and celebrates the best of American craft beer and its brewers. Craftbeer.com is the best place to find craft beer events, recipes, great features, stories, the most up-to-date brewery listings, and resources for your next beer tasting or dinner, like style guidelines, pairing mats, and charts. Get the inside scoop on new beer releases and special events from today's craft beer insiders, and chime in to share your own knowledge, perfect pairings, road trips, recipes, and more. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
BN Army Hop Tech has a great discount waiting for you. Do you often find it difficult to find specific specialty ingredients for your homebrew recipes? Well, listen to this. Hop Tech stocks 59 different grains to choose from, 39 varieties of pellet hops, and 8 kinds of whole leaf hops. And Hop Tech not only carries Y yeast and White Labs yeast for you, but also Fermentus, 04, 5, 6, 23, 33, and T58 Belgian yeast, plus Cooper's, Nottingham, and Windsor yeasts. Got your recipe ready to go? Pick up some great brew gear like new long and short sleeved shirts, games, and more. Hop Tech's new website is being updated every day with new items. If you don't see it, call the shop. They're open 6 days a week. BN Army and AHA members get a 10% discount, and active military personnel get 15% off. Visit hoptech.com today for great selection, great service, and a great discount. Hoptech.com.
Now back to the challenge. Can you brew it?
All right, we're back. We're talking about the whole pro-am business here. Now, before the break, we were talking about some of the experiences I've had and you've had. And one of the things that fascinates me is you're Janet Brown. And now, I've found that to be a best-of-show class beer when you've brewed it. And I've found that the beers brewed at Russian River to be best of world, beers.
They're all pretty damn good.
I'm just stunned and amazed at what they're doing there. And you went there and you did not once, but twice or three times.
Three times you've done
Janet's Brown there at Russian River. Now, Vinny's credit, he knows a great beer when he tastes a great beer, and great brewer when he meets a great brewer.
He did it in the spirit of it. We did it the first time as a pro-am beer.
So I don't think he would do it three times if it was just in the spirit of pro-am. He'd be get the F out of here. Not that he would say that, but
don't underestimate his
generosity.
His generosity.
That's true. No,
his sense of camaraderie. He gets it when it comes to those collaborations.
That's true. He truly does like the
beer, obviously, and his customers do, and all that. But
yeah,
don't underestimate the relationship part of that.
That's true. He would contribute to anything. He's just a nice guy.
Yes.
Him and Natalie are just
they're quite a pair.
Salt of the earth. Yeah. All right, but the thing that interests me is I've consumed a lot of Janet's Brown that you've brewed over the years. I've consumed it, in various incarnations, competition settings, brother to brother, and I've tasted it, brewed by Russian River, and the Russian River version was bigger, maltier, fuller, richer. I loved it, but I didn't love it as much as your version. Now, what happened there? I mean, it's a great beer. If they had just come out and, put this beer on, I'd be like, oh, man, this is great beer. I love this beer. Russian River, these guys are kicking ass. But because I knew your beer so well, I was like, well, it's not... I love your version better. Now, what's happening there? What is it? I mean, they're both great beers.
Well, yeah,
the process at Russian River and everything is,
Yeah, obviously it's a different kitchen.
Beyond reproach. But what's happening there? Is it the, like you're saying, the kitchen, the brewing equipment, or is it ingredients, or is it the cook? What is happening there?
Well, ingredients-wise, they brew my recipe, pretty much just like, my recipe.
There's, so they're following the recipe.
Yeah, the first time we brewed it, we did the sack roundup. I think came out to like 45 pounds of
yeah, you're rounding up. See, I round down.
And we rounded up the sack, and it was little too chocolatey. I think it was actually an English chocolate, so it's 10 pounds extra.
That would be quite acceptable.
The beer was too chocolatey, so it sounded like, well, let's just back down to the original size. So the second and third batches we did, and it definitely didn't have as big an upfront chocolate flavor.
Uh-huh.
It still had it, which is, of course, a signature part of the beer. The homebrew version, that's a big part of it. When it's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
At Russian River, the beer lasts about 5 weeks there. Well, the Janice Brown homebrew, I don't even take it out of the house till it's 6 weeks old. It has to have a time for it to find its way.
Yeah, I didn't sense that from the Russian River version.
Believe me, I did. I was up there at least every two weeks.
It was fuller and
richer. For the time it's there, it changed over time as well.
But yeah, every beer does. Yeah.
It got better.
Uh-huh.
Mine got better too. So,
right.
It was. It might have had more body. It was. I remember being at Russian River, very very good. I mean,
it was excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah. We're talking about a couple of excellent beers,
right? And they brew it right. Exactly. They mash up the beer. They never mash up any other beer,
right?
They mash at 154. They never mash at 154. They did it. Just the way I brew the beer. And
I think it's one of the things I love about Canyon Brew It is. I hear, processes and ingredient lists that I think I would never do that. And then I'm forced, in the past I was forced to brew that way. And I'm like, well, this isn't going to work. And then sure enough, it works.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would, there'd be a recipe like the Nignia, from Shettle, the 100.
Right.
I think we're both saying, well, this isn't going to work.
It's not going to be that malt. It's going to be too.
It's not going to have that caramel and that crystal flavor. Sure enough,
it's loaded.
And it wasn't oxidation or anything like that. It was. It just worked.
Yeah,
it was shocking.
It was kind of unexplainable.
Right, right. It's like, there's no way this works. And sure enough, and I think that's one of the great things about the show. So were you disappointed or excited or neither?
As an amateur brewer, right?
You're excited that Russian River's brewing it.
Your beer's up on the board at Russian River. I mean,
right? It's like God decides to come down and
be like thrilled, right?
Right, right.
And then when it tastes like really, really good,
yeah, but it's different.
It's
excellent, but it's different.
Well, I never. I mean, yeah, it was different, but it's like. That's a good beer. Mine's a good beer. They're in the same family.
Right.
Are they exactly the same? No. How can we possibly expect them to be the same? Really.
Well, but see, that's the interesting thing. So, we did at Heretic, we did a beer with Matt Staley, his Taffel Bully. And, when I looked at that, I'm like, well, I want to do exactly the way he wants it
done. Did
you
like the beer?
I don't want to, somehow sidestep his recipe or anything. I don't want any excuses about, we don't have that yeast. I mean, I paid $700-$800 for a pitch of yeast because that's what he used. Actually, I paid for two pitches of yeast because it was the yeast and then the bread.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was really expensive. But I wanted to make sure that what we were doing was exactly what he wanted done. That said, it's like, well, you still round off the sacks and things like that. And, it's when you're talking about a couple of pounds, it's like, come on, it's 30 barrels. Do you really think it'll make a difference? But I think we made a really nice beer. And I think we, kind of respected, you're drinking it.
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's very much along the lines of what he intended, but it's not the same beer.
You're right, it's not the same beer, but you also had one of the worst brew days that I can remember.
That's true, it was 22 hours.
Any of my professional brewer friend, 22 hours. You had so much other crap to deal with.
It was
you
want
to talk about a long whirlpool edition?
Right, it was the first batch that we did at Heretic, and that was the problem. There were so many other little problems that it really screwed it up. And I'm so embarrassed to say, but you know, there was a bunch of thermometers there, and we went ahead and used them, and we didn't pre-calibrate them. Anytime you pick up a thermometer that you've never, you don't know the history of, and that you haven't personally calibrated. Verified, you know, don't use it. But we went ahead and we're just like, well, you know, there's so many other things going wrong.
Right.
It's like,
that's
the last
thing you would think of.
Right. We stick it in. It's like, well, it says, you know 148, but it's really 156.
Did you find that that seriously? That was a...
Afterwards, I'm like, hey, we need to calibrate all these thermometers. We're using them and we don't know what they are. And they were off by 6-8 degrees Fahrenheit.
Seriously?
Yeah, so
wow.
So Taffel Bulli, which should have been like 149, was 156.
I would never have known that. I would never have thought to, because in my mind, you buy a thermometer, it's already calibrated factory, right?
Yep. Well, and these have been ones that have been, you know, sitting around, other people have been using, and you know.
I would love to do a Taffel Bulli. Can you brew it? Because when I first had the beer, it was without Brett, and I personally like it better. Without the Brett.
I would imagine that. I would agree with that.
So I was kind of surprised that you guys did it with Brett, to be honest.
He told us to do.
That's what he does.
It's still a good beer, and I would drink another keg.
Right, it would be nice without the Brett.
That beer blew
but, you
my
know, the
mind.
The mash temperature needs to be lower.
Well, the mash temperature needs to be lower. The whirlpool needs to be shorter amount of time.
Right, right.
The whole brew day should really not be almost
22
a full day.
Hours. Yeah.
It's not a literal
22
day.
22 hours from start to finish.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was brutal.
Get to have breakfast twice.
Yeah. Oh, by the time I got home, it was like another 6 hours later after that. I drove.
And two lunches.
Down to Livermore and drop Matt off, and then I drove back. I mean, it was just brutal. By the time I got home,
I was shaking.
It was just it was horrible. But
not what you imagined.
No, there were some adjustments made.
What if it was
for grains that he used? Like, and this is the thing. I felt I don't push him on it, but. You know, he used like kiln coffee, and I'm like, you know, I don't care for the taste of the kiln coffee in this. So we switched to like a Belgian biscuit or something.
Yeah.
And then he used Cara Amber, and I went to, you know, Cara Vienne or something like that. I couldn't get 5 pounds of, I'm like, you know.
Well, again.
30 barrels. 5 pounds.
5 pounds and 30 barrels.
Are you saying that, I mean, because it would stand to reason, okay, if you're doing what barrelage are you?
30 barrels.
30 barrels. And a 30 barrel batch, what am I trying to say? In a 30 barrel batch, changing the specialty malt in that small of increments doesn't adversely affect the end product when compared to the homebrew version.
Right.
Then it shouldn't necessarily matter in the homebrew version.
It shouldn't.
But does it?
Probably not. Again, if you have exactly the same fermentation and process and every little aspect along the way and did a triangle test, I bet you could pick it out.
Sure, but nobody's ever going to do that.
I could spank it into 30 barrels and you'd never taste it.
Right. So then why would you add that?
Right, exactly.
So you're saying less is more.
You know, a lot of other recipes that we've been messing around with, I've had a much more complex as homebrew recipes, and then I cannot afford to stack up pallets of, you know, this malt or that malt, especially malt, just for this one thing where we're using a little bit.
Right.
Like, Jesus, it's not going to make a difference. Let's just simplify this down to, like, if there's more than 3 malts, there's something really weird about the beer. And, you know, that's just a commercial thing because homebrew, it's not a problem. And I think you do gain something from that. But commercially, it's a giant pain in the ass to stock malts that you're using in tiny quantities in a beer where
the result,
the consumer is never, ever going to know.
But
they're not triangle
But if it makes a difference in a homebrew, why wouldn't it matter in a commercial beer?
Let's not assume it does make a difference. Let's assume it doesn't make a difference in a homebrew.
Okay.
I mean, does it really? I mean,
well, I think, you know, most homebrewers, they, you know, they brew it and then, you know, a couple of months later they brew it again, and I'd tell you they'll never know the difference.
Really?
But if you were to, you know, very rapidly brew exactly the same thing and have very tight control of every bit of your process and very tight control of your fermentation and all that, and then you triangle test it, I think maybe you could pick it out. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody with a good palate could pick it out.
So then it does make a difference.
You know,
I know I'm playing devil's advocate, right. Kind of being a jerk about it, but I want to know, basically, from my point of view, as a home brewer,
who was able to pick out the seaweed character in your Shakespeare style?
Well, that was the guy I'm looking at right
one,
now.
One person.
Right.
Out of the entire room of people with good palates.
Yeah. Whole universe.
Right?
Yeah.
So, did that really make a difference?
In what way?
It made a difference to me.
Sure.
Well, but and then anybody else?
That in turn made a difference to every other single person in the room.
Because
you pointed it out.
Because
and then
I
it's
pointed
like,
it out.
Oh, yeah, now
but
I get it.
I think otherwise it was meaningless.
Was it, or did we not have a name to put to the flavor that we were tasting? We assumed it was a combination of other flavors.
Now you're talking about tasting versus the general. Say the general person.
You're right.
Well, consuming a beer.
Right. You're right. You're right.
And again,
somebody trying
consumer,
a Temple Bleu for the first time, are they going to say, "Wait a minute, where's the Caro Amber in this thing?"
Right. Are they trying it? You know.
You're right.
You know, comparing side by side. You know. So I think that's one of the things about, you know, commercial brewing. You know, I want to stock all these, you know, homebrew malts I did, and I want to throw 5 pounds of this into 30 barrels. But it's like, you know, that's so not going to show up.
So can we as homebrewers, and that's what I'm getting is, could we as homebrewers learn from the reverse engineering from commercial brewers to homebrew, right? You as a commercial brewer, reverse engineering a homebrew.
I've thought about that. I
trimming
really
out
have.
The fat.
Right.
And then that homebrewer comes back and takes that recipe.
I think you, I
and
think
then
you
brews
can.
It as a homebrewer without the fat.
I think you absolutely can. And it's interesting because I've kind of done that. It's like, well, you know, this recipe has a whole bunch of malts. No, we're going to simplify it for commercial. Let's make a pilot batch with it simplified.
Yeah.
And turned out great. All right, so let's move forward. And I think it's interesting because, you know, I think you can do that. I think the interesting thing is, as a homebrewer, you shouldn't. Because you're going to lose some of the passion of it. I don't know. It's like the reason we do commercially is because, you know, it's a pain in the ass. It's like, I don't know, we don't want to open a 55-pound sack and throw in a pound. It's ridiculous. You know, it's not going to make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, and to get that sack, I got to order all this other shit, and, you know, it's like, it's a big pain in the ass.
Well, the recipes that I'm most impressed with are those that are really simple. You know, like show we did earlier on from Pizza Port, the Shark Bite.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got 3 malts in it. I mean, and they're probably in sack percentages.
Right,
because
that's
from a production brewery, right?
Right. You use your pale malt and whatever amounts, and everything else is by sack.
Yeah, so we should, you know, take maybe as a homebrewers and doing our recipes, we should, you know, take a lesson from those guys and keep it simple, keep it, you know, into reasonable percentages. You know, if you're not, there's no reason to have like 2% of something,
because
unless it's a really dominant malt, like a dark malt or a,
right. Yeah, 2% of
you know,
if you're doing domestic 2-row, and then you put in 2% of, you know, some British pale ale.
Right.
It's like, well, what are you doing? If it's 2%, you know, black patent, that's a whole different story.
Yeah. There's more things in the process that affect the flavor of the beer than that 2%.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's think on that a bit. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll kind of wrap up our thoughts on the whole Pro-Am and how it makes a difference. Back after this.
Hi, this is John from Grain and Grape in Melbourne, Australia. This has been a big year for us. We've just celebrated our 21st birthday, and we've been voted best home brew shop in Australia. We reckon that makes us pretty much the best brew shop in the Southern Hemisphere. Now we've got the ultimate fix for all you space poor, time poor, and lapsed brewers. The all-in-one Browmeister is now Grain and Grape, and it's a beauty. There are 20, 50, and 200-litre systems. It lets you complete a temperature-controlled mash, boil, and cool, all within the same stainless steel mains-powered unit. So if you live in an apartment, you don't have the time to complete a traditional brew day, or are just plain lazy, you can be brewing beautiful all-grain beer more quickly than ever. We're also now making our own range of small-batch fresh work kits on the 200-litre system, right here in the warehouse. Just one last thing. Mention the Brewing Network next time you're ordering online or over the phone to receive freight free on your next order of up to 15 kilos. Check out grainandgrape.com.au for conditions.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
Writing a review of WLP 400.
What? You're reviewing yeast?
Yeah. White Labs has home brewer reviews of all their strains. Are you new to these interwebs? Check it out.
That's awesome.
White Labs, your source for great yeast, invites all brewers to visit whitelabs.com to read and write your own reviews of all their yeast strains. Get real-world tips and tricks from other brewers who have made the most of their vials and post your own experiences. It's another way White Labs brings you closer to the best yeast on the planet.
And send. There you go. You misspelled flocculate, dude.
What?
White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, cretins. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
In a world where everything has been lost.
What happened to the city? It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. No, the liquor store has been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol. Be done. Come with me if you want the beer.
Okay, I'm gonna need some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's gonna get us wasted.
Someone start heating water. And
from the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you $7.99 Brew Saver shipping, massive selection, and superior customer service comes...
Listen, our lawyer said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months and then to the next meeting.
Kids, come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in a can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their new SnapLock stainless steel camlock fittings will make connecting your pump or heat exchanger quick and easy. Or check out their exclusive paintball tank-based draft beer equipment. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection. That's williamsbrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific Time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Hey, my sisters and brothers, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com. For a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item you want on their store. You'll select your one item at 50% off, and then you're going to get free three DVDs of your choosing. And you'll get an extra gift that's sensual. So sensual, I don't know.
Well, it's got to be pretty sensual.
It's pretty sensual.
I mean, these people know sensuous, right?
Right.
Sensuality.
But that we can't mention on the air? I don't know. They should just say, oh, it's like it's dick lube ring. Or something. Or, you know, a...
Well, you know, these are cut for like normal,
this or that or,
normal radio. So they want to skirt the issue because you can't even say, you know, boner.
I can say boner.
On normal radio, right? But here, you know, we can because, you know, no one's listening.
I can say cock dick motherfucker. You can't say that on normal, but, yeah, you know, you can say that on the Brew Network. You can say whatever you damn well please here because we're instructed to do honesty and whatever we think.
But take it from Adam and Eve. If they say sensual...
then it's probably sensual.
It's real sensual.
Right. And the it's free shipping. So it's actually quite a good deal. You're going to get, you know, just buy an item, you get 50% off of the thousands of items that they have, and then you get three free DVDs of your choosing, you get the extra gift, you get the free shipping. It's like you barely pay anything, and you get like this giant load. I think I need to order some of this when I get home. And when I do, I'm going to type in the offer code, Can You Brew It, CYBI. Can You Brew It? And that gets you all that good stuff, adamandeve.com. They also got a great mobile site. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's m.adameve.com. So when you want to, you know, do it mobile, you can.
See, and I've been typing M. Night Shyamalan, and I haven't been getting anything. So maybe I...
You haven't been getting a boner?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just saying. Yeah.
When you're out with your girlfriend and you're getting bored,
that's right.
Say, hey, let's just look at this website, and you just go through things there, and
right.
When she
pretty
goes,
soon you know exactly what to get her for Christmas.
Right. When
check
she goes
my
to the
phone.
Can for half an hour, you know,
let me borrow your phone. I gotta go to the bathroom.
No, I need to order some things for us next week.
What
were
you
our
doing in the bathroom?
It is Christmas coming
out. Checking out AdamandEve.com. I tell you, there's some stuff on AdamandEve.com. Get you a little Randy, huh?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Huh? Everyone has to
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do. Actually, I don't. I'm asexual.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Big pause.
Pause you know, for effect.
Checking it out. They're, you know, the great thing about these folks is they've decided to sponsor this show and you know, contribute to the Brewing Network. And, you know, whether you buy stuff or not, but, you know, check it out and... you know, if you don't find anything that you could enjoy for 50% off, send them an email and say, hey, you know, I didn't find anything I liked, but, you know, thank you for sponsoring the Brewing Network because I really enjoy the Brewing Network programming.
Or what are you looking for? Let them know what you're looking for.
That's true.
Don't be passive. Be aggressive about it. If you're looking for a certain thing,
I'm looking for I'm looking for Simcoe hops. You don't have it on your site.
That would be the ultimate fusion of sponsors.
Got this great strap-on.
Yeah. Right. I see the strap-on. I don't think dry hopping with the strap-on is really the way to go.
I'll tell you what. If you're still brewing on your stove in a 3-gallon kettle and you can't afford a spoon, get a 12-inch strap-on and just grind over your brew kettle.
Put it to use.
Perfect. Perfect.
Give the old man a dose of his own medicine.
Right.
All right.
Okay, enough of that. So what were we talking about? We're talking about the whole, you know, Pro-Am
recipes,
thing and Pro-Am recipes. And so, you know, what should we take from this whole thing? What have we learned?
To me, the bottom line for like a Pro-Am or, you know, whatever you want to call it, where, you know, the professional brewer through his good graces has agreed to make your recipe, right, is really focused on the spirit of the collaboration. Right. That's really what it's all about.
Yeah.
To get all hung up on, is it going to be my beer or not? Or are people going to say, well, you know, it's not exactly like yours, so it's a fail. That's a goal. But I mean, the main thing is that, you know, they're letting you into their world and you should, you know, be as gracious as you can.
It is pretty much I don't want to say a gift, but it's not something that everybody gets to do, right? So it is kind of a peel back the curtain and see how the big guys do it, right?
I think in the past there might have been, and maybe still to this day, there's some pro brewers who think, oh, I'm getting a killer recipe. I'm getting one over.
Really? I mean,
I think those are the ones who really don't know a lot.
Yeah, they don't know much about recipes.
Or they're not around.
I think in the reverse, you know, when the whole Sam Adams long shot came out, the whole thing was, oh, you know, they're going to profit off of my recipe so much that, you know, they're making millions of dollars off of me and I'm not going to enter my beer because, you know, it's like, do you have any freaking clue? I mean, you don't know squat if that's what you think. You know, I think they were paying, what, $5,000? That's a ridiculous amount of money. That's more
It's more than generous. Deserve. That's more. 1,000 would have been approved.
Oh, yeah. Well, and
I'll tell you, those things that they do, especially the long shot, they lose money on it.
They lose money every year off of that.
Seriously, lose money.
Yeah.
And it's a gift. It's literally a thing to give back.
Jim Cook didn't tell them to do it, they'd be like, Jim, you're losing money off this. This is stupid. And it's like, no, I'm giving back to the homebrew community. Bite me. I'm going to do it every year.
You know what? Every year in meetings.
Just awesome.
He has the bean counters, and they're going, we need to stop this. And he goes, no. Because that's what he came from. It's great marketing for him.
It's totally cool.
And it's a chance for them to meet
people. Even marketing.
Well, it is, but it's a chance for them to... I'm not saying it's the sole reason they do it.
Right,
it's
right.
one
well,
of the benefits. I think mainly it's a chance for them to meet...
I still don't think they break even off of the thing.
I never said no. They lose money. Right, but it's a chance for them to meet the people that are drinking their beer and to reach out to the people, the core people that they want drinking their beer, which is craft beer lovers. Like us.
Right, right. No, that's
when,
what it is.
When they made my double IPA, I guess it's like a pro-am.
Right. Oh, for sure.
They said the cost to make the profit, or all the profits were eaten up
by... There's no way they were going to make
just
any profit
off
of that beer.
So all the other two beers were just
boned
pure
off of that
loss. Pure loss.
Right, right.
Two beers.
Yeah.
But they still do it.
But they got a lot of buzz
the stories you were telling me of that is they enjoyed it. They liked that they were having to do something like that.
Yeah. Well,
if you're brewing the same beer day in and day out, it's just like, you know, okay, yeah, this beer makes a lot of money, pick whatever, you know, massively popular beer there is.
Let's say Heretic. Let's use you as an example. You have you have three beers, two beers that you're doing in heavy rotation. Even now, you're probably like, I really want... I mean, I know you're working on pilot recipes, but let's say 5 years down the line, right? When you have, you know, your core line, it's got to be a pain in the butt for for your brewer, Chris, to be like, I really want to just do this crazy beer like I used to do as a home brewer.
Yeah, you know, it's just...
I think it's the nature of the beast, you know?
You want to do things that are creative, and I think, you know, being able to, you know, use... a homebrewer's creativity as an excuse is a great thing. Sure. You know, it's just like, yeah. And I think it's nothing more than that. And I think if you're lucky, again, I get a lot of emails from people going, you know, been listening to the Brewing Network for a long time, and because of what you guys have been doing, I got Best of Show. Now I'm, you know, doing a pro-am, and, you know, you got any advice for me? And I think the advice is enjoy it. You know, don't, you know, try and, you know, try and, you know, forward your recipe as much as possible. But if they like, you know, that's going to cost us, you know, an extra $1,000 and really make this seriously non-profitable, because you don't make that much off a batch of beer. Yeah, just say, oh, it doesn't matter. You know,
what matters is, is the
spirit of
exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And then think about the guys that might come after you, that might do pro-am at this place again.
Right.
You know, make it enjoyable for the brewer as well. Don't be a pain
exactly.
in the ass.
Yeah, don't be a pain. Exactly. Don't be a pain in the ass,
right?
Staley.
Don't be a dick.
Staley. That prick.
No, he's a great guy.
He's a little short. Let's not pull punches. No. He's a short man.
He worked his ass off.
Yeah, but he's tiny.
But you know, don't be a problem, because you know that's going to stop them from doing it with anybody else. It should be a fun thing.
It's fun. Yeah,
you know, I think you know, most pro brewers are doing it for the fun of it, and just, you know, the spirit of, you know, getting back to the homebrew roots and that whole thing, and
right, connecting with homebrewers.
Yeah, you know,
I have no doubt
just make it part of that.
That Vinny uses me to some extent to accentuate that connection with homebrewers. But think about that. He thinks that's important. That's what's cool about that. He thinks it's important to have that connection. So, you know, I'm fine with being a part of that.
Well, it is important.
It is. I think home brewers are the, you know, the pure evangelist of craft beer. They spread the word.
Yeah.
Have a couple cool questions from the chat.
All right.
This is from Bike Foolery. He goes, when do fermentation temps for yeast change as fermenters get bigger from the homebrew size and shape? For instance, Jay-Z has reduced. Someone just. Hang on a second.
Another message.
Think of stone in their environment.
Jay-Z has reduced fermentation temps from the 70s to the high 60s when fermenting Arrogant Bastard in a homebrew sized Arboy.
Yes, Bike Foolery, an excellent question. Always in the chat on the show. And he shows.
He's fooling you.
He asks excellent questions. You know, it's like a gut feel thing. You know, you taste the beer, or you're just like, well, if I was to ferment this in, you know, my fermenter, I would, you know, go with, you know, this temperature and this pitching rate, and you kind of get a feel for, you know, how alcoholic or fruity or, you know, any of those characteristics. And, you know, so there's not like a set number. But I would generally, you know, you're talking, oh, you know, when you get to, you know, about 30 barrels, you're talking a degree or two. When you get to 300 barrels, you're talking, you know, 3 to 5, something like that.
Sure.
And kind of in that range. It really just depends. I mean, it's like a feel thing. And you know, there's different ways to, you know, you know, slice and dice this thing, and you have to kind of know your system, and, you know, the things you do, like oxygen and nutrients and pitching rates and all that and stuff. Go, well, to get this character, you know, with that yeast, I need this, you know. So that's kind of where I do those adjustments.
No doubt.
It was a little more scientific, and I bet you it could be. I go off a gut feel.
Well, you got to go off something, because there is a difference between a, you know, a 300 barrel fermenter and a 10 gallon batch.
Right, right.
The pressures are immensely different.
Right.
That's what we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it the fact that the pressures constrain the yeast so that you can raise the temperature and still have constrained yeast, right?
And the interesting thing is, if you look at something like Anchor Brewing and their Anchor Steam Beer. And they use these, you know, shallow open fermenters. That's a whole different thing than something like Lagunitas, where they've got these towering giant fermenters where there's a lot of, the taller the liquid column is, you know, every 33 feet, there's, you know, like another atmosphere of pressure, 15.7 pounds of pressure. Well, so
they got that going.
Yep. Hmm. So it's something to take into account. But excellent question. And I know bike foolery is always there for us. And dude or woman asks. Great. I don't know. Dude or woman. I don't know. Bike foolery. What does that tell you? Asks excellent questions every time.
Afterlab is in the chat again, and he asks, can you have Jamil touch on trying to get certain ingredients from brewers? Are they willing to get star anise, orange peel, cacao, nibs, etc., and all that other stuff? Sounds like they are, if they're being true to the recipe. So if I came to you and had a wit beer and had, you know, star anise in it, would you be willing to do that?
Oh, yeah. And, I wouldn't hesitate. Most brewers already have an account with like Brewer Supply Group or Country Malt or one of those. And between the two, they cover all that stuff. There's a big list of everything you just mentioned I can get. And it's not that big a deal. Okay. It's a little bigger deal for people that are further away from a shipping depot. I can just drive down and pick it up. When we're out doing deliveries, we go by and swing by and pick up whatever we need. Yeah. Or, when we're ordering malt, we just say, hey, throw on top of that pallet of malt, this, that, and the other thing. Not a big deal.
When I brewed at 21A, there was a hop that they didn't have. And I was able to get it donated from Vinny.
Yeah, we got it. When I was there, they got it from Gordon Biersch.
Yeah. So there's a,
ran over a box. He's like, here you go.
Yeah. So, and I think there might have been another hop that I actually bought myself. I mean, I don't know. You know, so if you have a special spice like anise or something like that.
Right.
Well, maybe you should just bring that.
Right. But a lot of those you can get from Brewer Supply Group or Country Malt. Most small craft brewers have accounts with those folks already, and it's really not a big deal. Or, you can go to your local market or Whole Foods or, whatever it might be, and they've got it.
What about base malt? Uh-huh. So what do you guys use at Heretic?
Oh, see, now that's a bigger issue. Because at Heretic right now, we're using the Great Western Pale Ale, mm-hmm. or higher colored base malt. But if somebody's using a silo of malt, getting them to change out of that, because the silo prices are lower than the sack malt.
For sure, right? They just pump it right in from the car, right?
Right, and getting them to change that out, that's a big deal. Now, if you got something special, like your base malt is entirely Munich or Pilsner or something
or
like that.
Golden Promise, even.
Golden Promise. I would do that. That wouldn't faze me at all. Okay. But if you're, we're 30 barrels. If you're talking beyond that, if you're talking to somebody making 100 barrels of something,
that's like 900
and usually pro am they won't do. They won't.
It's not
do
a typical
like
format.
That.
No.
Yeah, most pro am is 30 or below.
Yeah.
Russian River taste? Really expensive.
It's a 20 barrel system.
20 barrel.
Okay. On there, yeah. I brew in the pub system there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So something like that. Yeah, I think that could be an issue for them.
There has to be certain concessions that each side has to make, right, in order to make the beer that they're going to make.
Right. Well, and like with Staley, I was like, well, I think this doesn't make a difference to you. And he's like, no. It doesn't bother me at all. And I kept reminding him. It's like, well, I want to make sure we're making the beer you want to make. I don't want to, change it. Because it makes it more comfortable for me. I'd rather just, suck it up and make it the way you want. I don't want you disappointed.
Well, then you have someone else to blame.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But, I've been there.
Well.
I've been in that situation where you feel like, oh, why aren't you making my beer? So I wanted to make sure that he felt like we were making his beer.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's just, it's like, well, why do it? Don't,
be good for everyone.
All right. So I think the thing that we might say to the pro brewers out there is if you're going to do a pro-am with somebody, do everything you can. to make the beer that they're coming to.
Yeah.
If you're not prepared to do that, then don't offer to do a pro-am.
Yeah.
Don't bullshit and say, oh, we'll do your beer, and then just think, well, sorry, we don't use that malt. Oh, we don't use that yeast, so we don't use the hops. And I've had that happen to me where it's like, well, this has nothing to do with my recipe, you know, go for it. Fine, you know. So I think that's really important too. We've been talking about on the amateur side what they should do, but on the pro brewer side, really you need to go ahead and, you know, do absolutely the best you can. You don't have to completely, you know, bankrupt the company, but you should be doing what you can to brew their recipe. Otherwise, if you're not prepared to do that, don't get involved.
Right.
That's a big mistake.
Or don't select that beer, or don't leave it open-ended or something like that.
Right, right. Don't even, you know, go into the process. Right. Because it's a pain in the ass, I'll tell you that. But on the other hand, you know, if you're going to do it, then do it right. Don't be screwing around.
What about yeast management? How far will you be willing to go for a different pitch of yeast than your house yeast?
Oh, well, I didn't want to use the yeast we used for Taffel Bully, but I paid,
you did it.
You know, $7.50, $7-something to get a new pitch, and then also the bread on top of that.
You sound like a good guy.
I paid, you know, through the nose for that. Huh? But, you know, Taffel Bully would be a big loss for us. you know, we will lose a ton of money off of Taffel Bully, but on the other hand...
say it again.
It's, you know, I'm really glad we did it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know,
I love that stupid beer. Yeah. I wish more people loved it.
Yeah, it's no, a lot of commercial people
loved it. I think a lot of homebrewers love it.
I think it's you know,
super unique.
It's got you know, if you can appreciate the flavors in it and the complexity to it and the light character that it has. You know, then you're going to love it. If you're looking for a sweet alcohol bomb, you're not going to find it. So
that's it from the chat.
All righty. Anything to add to that tasty?
No, that's pretty much all I brought to the table, I think.
That was a good show.
Fun talking about it.
Yeah. I think they're getting a lot off our collective chests about the whole pro-am thing.
Yeah, and I never look back as much as
you know. I would love to do a couple more shows along this line with
get some other
people who have done these things.
Right.
Yeah, be interesting to kind of see if the beer was cloned or not. We didn't get into that. All right, we'll get into that in the near future.
Yeah.
Whether our beers that we did in these pro-ams were cloned or not.
Oh, good point.
Yes.
You want to do an extra half an hour?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Just check.
But what I want you to do is check out the Brewing Network store. Go in there. There's lots of great things, shirts, hats, books, all that stuff. And the bottom line is it goes to the Brewing Network and helps support programming like this. Check out BYO. There's a big BYO banner. You click on that. You can subscribe to Brew Your Own magazine. I write for that. And half of that subscription fee goes directly to the Brewing Network. You get a great magazine. The Brewing Network gets great support. And, you know, it's well worth it. Until then, brew strong.
And open.